Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Thank you for being here tonight. I want you to understand we're going to be using a good deal of scripture. And if the scripture crew is all together back there, we're going to put it on the board for you, because it's enough that you'd have trouble going through your Bible. It in no way is intended to replace your Bible. It's just to reinforce your Bible, which doesn't need reinforcing. Really, it's just to reinforce your mind so you can see it and hear it and then hopefully practice it. I want to speak to you on the subject of let the Scriptures speak to you concerning your source of everything. An interesting thought passed my mind. Once they get past, they hardly ever come back. But I became convinced that no one's life was ever profoundly affected by what they did not know. And we all far short of knowing what God says about things we say that we believe. And so I would, rather than try to impress you with a, and I've given up on that after 19 years, just forget that. But, we've come to a time where if we're not careful, we become connoisseurs of preaching, and we have preaching contests, whether they admit it or not, and to who is the best orator and the best speaker, and none of that really matters. What matters is, does the Word of God get out? And I don't mean by that one verse and we springboard off into one of our tangents. I mean the Word of God. So in letting the Scripture speak to you concerning your source of everything, we're going to be looking at a text in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 14. They'll come up one verse at a time. And I want us to look at that in just a moment, and we're going to examine it and let it speak to us. And then we'll do as many verses as... we'll do more verses than you want to before we get through. But do remember now, I don't ever hurry, but I can stop. So we'll probably leave some of it hanging for our men who are doing it in the back. But let's get our minds on our thought now. God started out with man by giving him something. He gave Adam a wife. He gave Adam and his wife a wonderful place to live, a garden that we would call paradise. We read in the Bible about a perfect home He's preparing for me. I think you can get in on it if you want to, but He's preparing it for me. Told me He was. And so from Genesis to Revelation, He is giving. And in between these books of Genesis and Revelation, He gave us a son who provides for us perfect life if we will accept it. Romans 8:32 makes mention of it. You can just leave your verse up there. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Now, let's look at the verses. 1 Chronicles 29. They'll be on the screen. They are in your book. You can rehearse them. I'd suggest you just jot down some notes, especially the verse references, and then look them up during the week and look at them again and again. And let God speak to you about your commitment that you're going to make at commitment time concerning the various things. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Now, we want to go back to that first verse and examine them for a moment here. And I want you to see, first of all, David's proclamation. These are the words of David. He's making a proclamation here. And we need to examine it very, very, very carefully. So let the scripture speak to you. What did those verses say to you? I've often thought, and I'm still thinking about how to do it. But if we would take an exit poll after church and just have someone stop and say, now, What did the preacher preach about? What were the main verses? And now, just what exactly did it mean to you? I think it would be surprising. I think it would be discouraging to the preacher, but I think it would be surprising. So just let us... Scripture speak. I don't want to talk you into anything. Just let the scripture speak to you tonight. And out of those four verses, I think for me, three sentences would put it all together for me. That's not necessarily what it would do for you. But since I'm preaching, I'll give you the statements that I think would do it justice. Out of those verses, what the Lord is saying to me is that He owns everything. Watch it again now in verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Now notice these words. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Now, I just don't know how it could be any plainer. Amen. All, there's another one of those alls. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. So the first statement that comes to me is, okay, the Lord is owner of everything. And then verse 12. Notice verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. That's pretty plain too. You read that, and if you're not damaged, you're going to have to say, number two, the Lord gives generously to his people. Yeah. And in thine hand it is to make great. And then thirdly, we look at verse 13. This one is interesting. Your preacher talked about it a little bit before the song service this morning, of praise, giving praise to the Lord. But look at verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. I wonder if tonight all you had was what you thanked God for yesterday. I wonder what you'd have. The book says we ought to praise him and we ought to give him thanks. So three sentences. You know, surely the Lord would speak to all of us on that. The Lord's the owner of everything. The Lord gives generously to his people. And we would do well to give him thanks and praise for everything. We would just do well to do that. See, that's David's proclamation. So David said it, but then Jesus confirmed it. I want you to look at a very familiar verse, Matthew 6:13. Comes at the end of the model prayer, and Jesus is speaking, and said, he's teaching us how to pray, and he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Yep. It all belongs to him. Yep. And it's difficult to let the scripture speak to us if we never read it. You have to read your Bible. It has to be more to you than reading through the Bible in a year. You have to read it to guide you. So that's David's proclamation. Now, let's look at God's promises, and we'll see some other verses. But he makes promises about his goodness and his resources and his desire for us to be blessed and to enjoy this life. And again, it's not something I want to talk you into. It's just something I want you to listen to the Bible say. And then if we were in a Sunday school class and we had all our time, we could say, now I want, when I read this verse, I want you to tell me what the verse says to you. And obviously we can't do it in there because once again it would embarrass the preacher. 2 Chronicles 20:20. They rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Watch now. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Now, without any explanation, what does that say to you? Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. That says to me, I need to believe the word, not just read it, not just become familiar with it. I need to believe it. Believe his prophets. Believe the word of God, so shall you prosper. Let's look at James 1 and verse 17. This one's familiar to most of you. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift is from above. I wish you wouldn't come to me and say, man, I had some good luck yesterday. Won't you say, man, I got a wonderful gift from God yesterday. ever good and perfect. If it's a wonderful gift, it came from God. And we need to understand that and just let the Scripture speak to us. Philippians 4:19, how many times has that been read from the pulpit? But my God shall supply all, another one of those alls, all your need. It's an amazing thing, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I hope you're absorbing these because we're going to ask you, what does it mean to you? Psalm 34, verse 8, 9, and 10. We'll get them one by one. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. What we just like to say is good. Bible says, taste and see. Try it. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. That's rather profound. We all say, well, we're believers. Do you know you can be a believer and not be a truster? Happy, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. Listen now. For there is no want to them that fear him. Oh, my. How did Solomon conclude the whole matter this morning? For this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. And there it is again. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, we say we're fundamental Bible believers, that we believe it's directly to us. So what did it say? Wouldn't it be something if that really meant that we wouldn't have to want any good thing? What does it say to you if it doesn't say that? It's exactly what it says, you see. So David makes this proclamation that it all belongs to God. He gives very liberally to his people, and we ought to praise him and thank him for it. Then Jesus confirms that, and then God makes all of these promises, and we're still in the same shape we were when we started. Hello. So let's look thirdly, our problems with it all. We evidently do have some problems with it, don't we? Of just trusting God. So let's look at the problem. See, we limit ourselves to our own ability. When we sit down and start figuring, we're automatically shutting God out, and it's going to limit us to what we can do in the flesh. And the Bible says the flesh profiteth nothing, nothing. So let's look at it, see, because when we limit ourselves to our own ability and our own resources, we run out real quick, don't we? We just run out. So we have to focus on what God has said, put our faith in what he said, and realize that he has an infinite supply of all grace, offering it to us. See, the very nature of God proves what I'm saying. Just the nature of God. And that's really what we have a problem with. Here's what we know about God that we don't really know sometimes. We hear it all the time, you know. I believe that God is omniscient. I do too. That means he knows everything. Is that right? He knows everything. We say, number two, I believe God is omnipotent. That means he can do anything. And we say, thirdly, I believe that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. And we all would agree that we believe that. And the way we believe it is, It's for other people. It's what we talk to other people about. It's what we tell other people about God. But when we get in great difficulty, we can't acknowledge it's for us. No. When we get in need, we start whining around. And yet Matthew 6 says, for God knoweth that you have need of these things. He is omniscient. Matter of fact, he knew you had the need before you did. I was fairly sick for 4 or 5 months last year. And before I realized it, I was frustrated, and it finally dawned on me that if God is omniscient, he knows what's wrong, and if he's omnipotent, he can fix it. You know, it got pretty simple, and I fussed about being there by myself when wanted to go off to the grocery store, but if he was omnipresent, he was right there with me. And it becomes personal and very real. The fact is, see, now we have these problems because I was having that problem because I'd never been that sick before. It's things we have not done before. Now, things we've done before, we don't need any faith for it. We know we can do it. We just do it. But here's this thing. When it gets beyond your ability, you run out. You run out of resources. You run out of ability. You just run out, which means you never have really depended and trusted the Lord. Believe in him? Yep. Think he's good? Yep. But we haven't trusted. Somebody said, well, I don't understand what you're getting at. What I'm getting at is when we can't see the way, God said he'd make a way. Listen to that old verse, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. It's a wonderful verse. It's kind of, it's been ambushed and used as a camp meeting verse many, many times. And it works real well there. But it's for me and you too, if we don't ever get to a camp meeting. Listen to it and rejoice in it. Say, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now, I know we have the academics in here, our administrator and teachers, and I know, but I have a great grasp of the English language. And if it's a new thing, that means it's something that ain't never been done before. Would that be right? Because sometimes you get in a position you never have been in before. And you say, I can't see the way out of this. I can't see my way through this. Listen, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall bring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God says, when you can't see the way, I'll make a way. When you don't know how you're going to make it, I know how you're going to make it. He said, you say, well, how do we know that? Well, because he said it. But more than that, his past works prove it. You know, he made a way for his people to cross the Red Sea. I don't want to shock you, but it was a way that was never done before and had never been done since. It was a new thing. I guarantee you it was a new thing, but it got the job done. He provided manna for food in the wilderness. Never had been done that way. And manna from heaven, birds flying in for food. He provided water to flood from a rock for the thirsty. Hadn't been done before, hadn't been done since. He healed the people who had been struck by the poisonous snake. They did it a new way. Put that brass up there, a brazen serpent, and they had to look. Amazing, see. His provision for his people was complete in every area of their life. And it's complete for me and you today. You know, so what new insights would you have about maybe his desire to provide your needs? Do you suppose he really wanted to do that when he said he would? When the Bible says he delights in the prosperity of his servants? What do you think about that? It's not what your pastor said, not what I said. It's what the Bible says, you see. David's proclamation. God owns everything. God is liberal. We ought to thank him and praise him. Jesus confirmed it. God made all of those promises. And what do you think about it? It's an amazing thing, really. Let me talk to you fourthly for a moment. I'm well aware that time is getting by, and we're not going to be. I'll quit on time. Somebody said, "When is that?" When I quit. It'll work. Let's look at God's provision for us now. We've looked at the problems, and now let's look at the provision. That little verse of Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need." Now, as humans, that's one thing we all qualify for. Humans. As humans, we have very specific need. Humans have emotional needs. Every one of us have emotional needs. And don't get all bent out of shape. I didn't say emotional problems, although some, maybe. But we all have emotional needs, every one of us. We all have physical needs. Now, I could get a crowd together on that one pretty quick. You have people sitting in this room in pain, I promise you. You have people in this room who have all sorts of physical problems. You have a prayer list somewhere of a multitude who have physical needs. We have material needs. There's no need of saying we don't. We need certain things to bring glory to God. We have mental needs. We have spiritual needs. And all of them have to be met if we're to complete God's plan for our life. All of them have to be met if we're to complete God's need for our life. Matthew 6 is so very familiar. We're going to look at several verses there, and I'm probably going to stop there. No definite promise, but I probably am. Because you study. See, now, my needs would be different from anyone else's needs in the building. Your needs would be different from mine. That would be very normal, very, very, very factual. Our needs are different, which means we must stop comparing ourselves with other people. Now, you know, I look at you and you have more of this than me. So I guess you need more. But we can't compare with each other, see. God will meet our needs. This is an amazing study here in Matthew. And it's used so much. I mean, I use it a whole lot. I hope it's used much. It gets familiar with us. And once we get familiar with things, we tend to take it for granted. You can't do that. Study it. Follow along now as I read it, and then we're going to ask some questions about it. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching. this is coming midway in that Sermon on the Mount, where we're getting a lot of good stuff if we pay attention. And Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, nor what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" We better hold it right there. "Are you not much better than they?" He said, "Look at the birds." And did you notice who he said fed them? Your heavenly Father. Not the birds' heavenly Father. They don't have a heavenly Father. They have a Creator. We have a heavenly Father. Said, "You feed those birds. The birds are sorry. They won't reap. They don't sow. But God feeds them." "Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" I guess some fellow who was comparing himself with the tallest person in there was unhappy and griping about what God had let him have in the height area. But evidently all he needed in height was what he got. God meets our need. Said, "You think worrying about it, fretting about it, is going to make you any taller? And why take your thoughts for raiment? My goodness, you go down to TJ Maxx or Ross's, you better take a guard with you, because some woman will run over you with a bag of clothes. And she's got clothes at home she hadn't ever wore yet." Someone said, "Move on," and it was a female. "I'm moving on. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" See, when you and I get to worrying about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, where we're going to live, what we're going to ride in, it's a faith problem. We still believe God, we just are not trusting him. Amen. We just don't trust God to keep his word. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek," the worldly crowd. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." Now watch the conclusion here. He's saying, now the Gentiles, these worldly people, they spend their life seeking after things. He said, "Now your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek you first the kingdom of God. Just get first things first. Put God first. What do you mean it says seek you first the kingdom of God? That's God's way of being right and doing right. You be saved and you be sanctified. So just put first things first, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, God is encouraging you and me to put spiritual things, spiritually, all those other needs, put spiritual things first, and God will add the rest. Total provision for your whole life. Now, what did the scripture in Matthew say to you? Anything at all? that's going to change your life, your actions. It's designed to. It's supposed to. I know. Can you make that a personal teaching? That would be a wonderful service if you could take that, take it home with you, and make it a personal teaching. See, many folks believe that God's the source of all things, and they believe that God provides for His people, but His people can't believe it for themselves. And we need to understand that. See? Let me just give you a thought, and I will quit. I have 4 minutes. I said I didn't want to explain anything. I do want to, as we close here, the issue of needs versus desires. See, Baptists still arguing about that. Whether God just cuts it off with the need, or whether the desires can be in it. Let me give you some homemade definitions and let you think about them. A need is something that in order for you to stay alive and carry out God's plan, you must have. A need is something you must have in order to stay alive and carry out God's plan. A desire is something that's enjoyable, satisfying, delightful, pleasant to have. Nothing wrong with that. But they're different. The psalmist said in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I've already mentioned, some folks believe God will supply your need. He'll keep you alive. But don't you dare want anything. Don't have any desires. Well, that's kind of dumb. See, Jesus said in John 10:10, I want you to listen. It's a dandy. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. Jesus is speaking. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. A grouchy, complaining Christian is not much. Just not much. But it's because they can't trust God and they feel like they've been shorted. Now God's desire, if our text verse is good that we read, then God's desire is is abundance for us. And that's what He wants to do. There are some preconditions. I'm not going to give you the verses for time's sake. But I would remind us of what we all know. All of God's promises are conditional. Okay with that? All of them, even the promise of salvation, conditioned on repentance and faith. So let's look at them. I'm just going to give them to you without the verses. But God requires us to be obedient. It's required. You can get the verses from the pastor after a while, maybe. He gave me this list and told me to say it. He requires us to be obedient. He requires us to be generous. That's a requirement. See? And He requires us to believe in Him and His Word. That's just it. Obedient, generous, and believe God and His Word. If I went to the left side and I went to the right side and I put my ability and God's ability it would come out something like this: my ability is finite and limited. God's ability is infinite and unlimited. My ability is inadequate. God's ability is totally adequate. My ability, watch, disappears in famine. God's ability exists in famine. My ability is a constant battle. God's ability is constant provision. I battle constantly against loss. God has constant provision in spite of us having a generous giving. So we just need to let the Word speak to us. You really do. You ought to study the verses, write them down, study them over and over and over. And that way, when it comes commitment time, there's no inner conflict. There's no emotional upheaval. There's no feeling about, I wish they wouldn't do this. And I just can only say one thing: let the Word of God speak to you. Amen. And then respond to it. I'm going to pray. When I finish praying, we'll stand. It'll be invitation time. It'll be time for you to take a stand that you will believe God, trust God, obey God, and be what God wants you to be. Too many people have wasted their Christian life for no reason at all. God created you, saved you for a purpose, and it all begins right here. Father, thank you for your Word, for this great church, the pastor, the people. And help us now in this closing moment to let your Word speak to us and us respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together, we begin to sing. Maybe.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
It's amazing, just the scriptures tonight, here they are.
All to Jesus,
what is it saying to you?
I surrender.
The Lord spoke to you tonight, won't you come?
At His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
So I'm still at the altar. Sing another verse.
All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my pleasure. Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Please be seated for just a moment. We'll give some announcements. Go ahead. We'll go ahead and pass out the booklets now, and one per family. And I know we have plenty of them. And we'll give some corrections. While they're passing those out, I'll give the announcements. Don't forget, of course, Stewardship Conference this week. Tonight through Wednesday night, right? So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. I hope that you'll be here and make plans to be here. And may have to stop by and get you a five-layer burrito, whatever you need to do. Wear your work clothes. Whatever you got to do to be here, be a part of the services this week. I might have to cough again. Hang on. And our annual business meeting is Wednesday night. Hope that you'll make plans to be here, be a part of that. And we'll go over this booklet on Wednesday night. Men of Heritage, Ladies of Heritage this Saturday. And again, our first meeting of the year. And we're going to do not combined meeting, but the ladies will meet over here in this building. Men will meet over in the Activity Center for breakfast. Both will be having breakfast and a devotional time, a Bible study time. And I hope the nursery will, or babysitters will be provided, so let us know. Commitment Sunday is next Sunday, again, for the Campus Development Fund, the Building Fund, as well as the anniversary offering, both going towards, again, paying down principal this year. I know that's exciting for you. I get excited about us, too, so. We get a lot more excited about building a building or doing something like that. But again, this year's concentration will be on paying down principal of our loans. Local outreach this week, Tuesday morning at 10. Of course, we'll be in the meeting on Tuesday night. And then Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. I do want to correct something in the bulletin, or in the bulletin. I always correct something in the bulletin too. But if you go to the budget page, so that way you guys, when you go home and you're looking at this. And so we pass this out early generally. Usually we pass it out on Sunday morning. So you can take it home, and that way, if you do have questions between now and Wednesday night, you can let me know, and I certainly would sit down with you or explain it to you over the phone or whatever needs to happen. So we're also an open book. We're not like the guy out there on the lake who doesn't like to have people look at his books because he's not honest. That's why. And so, nobody, everybody okay? Everybody know who I'm talking about? His last name's Copeland. You can go through and look at this and see, and but a big difference when you look at the actual spending for the year. Down at the end it says 2019 ending cash balance. That is way wrong. So mark 62,000 out. This is a good thing, by the way. Mark it out. It should read 141,425, $141,425, which is what's left in the bank at the end of the year instead of 62. Woo! Everybody. All right, just that's a good change for you to look at. And then go over to the pie chart on the other page and just put a big old X through it. It has zero, it's zero right, the whole thing. It looks pretty, but it's zero wrong. All my fault. I take all the blame. Let's all stand. You can take it home and look at it at the house, all right? And we'll go over it Wednesday night. But I didn't want you to go home because I know some of you mathematicians had gone home and you'd added that up and go, preacher, that didn't come out right. But there you go. Now the math works. And we'll go over the budget Wednesday night. By the way, you can look and see how God's blessed this year. It's been amazing. God's taken care of all of our needs and more than our needs. And so so thankful to Him. So bless Him. Appreciate Brother House, the message tonight. And I know we say this about Brother House, and he probably gets tired of hearing it, but such a simple but profound message. Thank you, Brother House, and what a great, great message. Have a wonderful evening. Brother Spivey's going to come and dismiss us in prayer. Be back tomorrow night, same time, same channel, 7 o'clock. Actually, different time, 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Let's pray. And dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord, for your many blessings. Lord, we just thank you for all.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchaslett.org.